I'm speaking with Mr. Harold Wood this afternoon. I'm Mary Giles. Mr. Wood has been a very significant member of our town for years. I'm eager to learn from him many things about himself and about the town. I want to know how it happens that he gives as much energy and thought to our community as he does, when so many people can't even seem to make it to town meeting. I'd like to begin with you back at the beginning of your life. You were born here?
I was born in Westport, November 2nd, 1909.
You were born November 2nd, 1909.
I was one of 10 children, Mr. and Mrs. Charles R. Wood. We lived in Central Village. My father was a farmer. He had a slaughterhouse. He was very active in town affairs. He was a highway surveyor. He was a member of the school committee. He, in his later years, was a member of the Board of Health.
Mm-hmm.
And he always had a very active part in town affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe from him I observed and eventually became interested myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're right up here at the corner.
Yes, with the old homestead is right across from the post office at Central Village.
Mm-hmm. And still I love watching your cows, and I love watching seeing your house, and I pass it regularly and think about you.
The farm and the slaughterhouse is still operated by my nephew. It was my father's wish that the property remain in the family. I hope it does for many years.
Mm-hmm.
We have some very desirable land up at on Sodom Road and Adamsville Road, which could be developed, but hopefully it will remain in farming.
I hope so, too. I hope that somehow it becomes more profitable for people to farm. I think farmers are today having a fairly hard time, aren't they?
They are, yes. And there's not much control over what they have to sell as far as the price that they get.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that they have to buy, such as farm machinery, fuel, the labor costs and so forth, there doesn't seem to be any end to the way it's skyrocketing.
I know.
Which puts a real burden on a farmer.
It certainly does. And I think the government is eventually going to realize that there has to be some subsidizing of the farmer if they want to keep him in existence.
Right. I think they will do something, because this open space is one of our valuable resources.
Yes, it is. Certainly is. Well, now, after your family or your father, anything else you can say about you'd like to say about them?
I mentioned that my father was active in town politics.
Mm-hmm. Was he a selectman?
He was a highway surveyor, and he was a board of health, and he was on the school committee.
Mm-hmm. That's you told me.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my sisters became teachers, and even though with a family of 10, all of the younger children had a chance to go further their education beyond the secondary level.
Isn't that marvelous? Speak a little louder, please, because I want to be sure to not miss some of these pearls.
So I eventually went away to school. Went up to I went to prep school up in Maine for 1 year after high school.
What was?
Maine Central Institute in Pittsfield, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And from there I went to what was then Massachusetts Agricultural College.
My husband went to, that was at Amherst, and my husband went to Amherst College, and he knew a great many of your, he was older than you are, but he knew a great many of the people who went to Massachusetts Agricultural College.
It was interesting to have the two colleges in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
At one time there was quite a rivalry, but
yes.
I think that the university now is to 25,000 to 30,000
people,
yes, and Amherst, so course, is more exclusive.
It's so tiny.
Yes. But
did you graduate from there?
I graduated in 1934,
mm-hmm.
and by then it was no longer Massachusetts Agricultural College, it had become Massachusetts State College,
mm-hmm.
and of course eventually it became the University of Massachusetts.
Yes.
So that was really a...
What year was that when you graduated?
1934, and it was not the most favorable
certainly
year
wasn't.
To go out and find a job.
No.
One thing that the opportunity I had, which I didn't take, and sometimes I wonder if I shouldn't have, that time they were interested in getting agricultural people, people with some agricultural knowledge in Australia.
Oh, and wouldn't that have been different?
I could have gone down there for 2 years.
Oh.
But prefer to stay in Westport, I guess.
It's so beautiful, everyone wants to come back.
Well, I worked for my father that first year out of college, and then I started teaching.
Mm-hmm. And you taught, I remember I'd just been up with Janice Field, and she said he was my teacher up at the factory school.
Right, that was the first
Was that the first
that
year?
That was 1935, September 1935.
Mm-hmm.
Following year at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there.
That was the Milton Merle School then.
Then the Milton Merle School, and we had an enrollment of around 100
mm-hmm.
students from grades mm-hmm. 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, after the...
Was that, that was before Norman Gifford was?
Norman Gifford was my principal.
Oh, he was your principal.
Time, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Norman Gifford was my English teacher when I was in high school
mm-hmm.
in Westport.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing, maybe, I started at the Mackinac Corner School,
mm-hmm.
which is now a house down mm-hmm. at the, I don't know if you would know just where
Mackinac
Corner
It's been pointed out to me, and the fact that it's a house.
Just below Sodom Road.
Yes.
And that was a one-room school with 8 grades
mm-hmm.
and one teacher. So I spent my
poor,
first year
poor
there.
Lamb.
And to get the water, drinking water, the older boys would go down to the spring, bring the water up, the drinking water, because we had a huge wood stove in the center
mm-hmm.
of the school. And then the
that wasn't the time when the roof leaked or anything. I've read so many school reports about roofs leaking. And
then in 1918, they built the what is presently the Milton Earl School.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there in the second grade, and I stayed there right through the next 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
As the school population increased, they would take out the lower grades
mm-hmm.
and put them into a one-room or two-room schoolhouses.
Mm-hmm.
It eventually ended up as a high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I just came along at the right time so that I never had to take a school bus, and all the time I went to school.
You know, you just walk, isn't that marvelous? You could just walk to school.
I could go home to lunch. And
yes.
So
you were lucky.
That was
because
quite unusual, I guess.
Yes, I can think of Mabel as she told me about having to walk down this and through lane and through the woods and so on and across to a little school on the drift road.
Yeah.
And then going up to Central Village was quite a trip for her. She went up across the woods behind where Sports' little store is and so on up to up there.
My sister drove what was I suppose it was called a school bus at those days, but a pair of horses and a wagon, and she used to come from Brownell's Corner down Sodom Road up Adamsville Road to the school at the village.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngsters would oftentimes get out in the cold days and run alongside of the wagon to get warm.
Warmed up, yes. I would think they would. I mean, really, In those days, apparently, according to John Hart, the winters were much more severe.
I think they were.
He says he cut 3 feet of ice on the pond over here.
Well, my father had an ice house. That was another adventure that he had. And I don't remember a year in which we didn't have ice at least 12 inches thick, and we filled the ice house. I don't remember any year when I was growing up that we didn't fill that house.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the summer, we pedaled it down along Drift Road, Main Road. And
mm-hmm.
Bill Tripp had his meat market up there. We used to put in maybe a ton of ice at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Then the electricity came to Westport, and the refrigerators put us out of the ice business.
Mm-hmm. Of course they did. I can remember when we had ice every week. We'd have 50 pounds of ice, I think, in the ice box every week, and then suddenly, after a while, then we had refrigerators,
right.
Mm-hmm, just as you did.
Then the Iceman was a thing of the past.
Yes, yes. Well, after you got through college and began to teach, how long was it how long did you teach in the elementary school? Or schools?
I taught 37 years altogether as a teacher and principal.
Mm-hmm.
I coached football for 4 years, I guess, 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had maybe 100 youngsters in school, and maybe 40 boys, and 30 of them would be out for football.
Mm, that's wonderful. You must have been an awfully good coach.
No,
and you were a popular person then.
We won the Mary League Championship in
mm-hmm.
1940.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite an accomplishment. We beat Dartmouth. We were great rivals at that time. I think that's the only football team that ever beat Dartmouth.
So oh, really?
I still have a newspaper accounts and pictures of that. And in fact, we had a reunion of that team about 6 or 8 years ago.
Was Jim Purse in school when you were, or was he later?
Bill
he
Pierce.
Was Bill Purse.
Jim.
Jim.
Jim also. Bill was one of my staff players.
Mm-hmm. I know he played football. They both played baseball, too.
Yes.
They
well,
were
Jim,
quite
Jim
good
played baseball his sophomore year, I think. And then Jim wasn't as rugged as Bill, and Jim had great possibilities as a baseball player. And his mother asked me, and I don't think Jim ever knew this, but she came over and asked me if I would discourage Jim from playing football because she was afraid that he'd get hurt and jeopardize
yes.
his baseball
yes.
possibilities.
That's a good idea
so,
because he was so good that
he
went out all over the country. He was in, if it hadn't been for his wound in the war, he would probably have been a national baseball
yeah,
figure.
Both boys are very, very athletic
mm-hmm.
and very talented. And boys with real desire,
yes.
which is important if
yes.
you want to succeed in athletics.
Yes. Yes, yes. My husband, Mike, at Amherst, he got acquainted with Bill Boyden over at Deerfield, and he coached. Boyden coached, but Mike was his assistant coaching
oh,
football
yeah.
over there, and he played on the Amherst football team when he was in college up there. That's beside the point. That is
a
part of your tape.
Name.
Yes, it
Boyden.
Certainly is. It is. After all these years of teaching and principally, you were superintendent, weren't you?
I just filled in for Mr. Griglia, who was the superintendent, passed away. And I filled in for Nick for approximately a year.
Oh, only for a year.
And,
mm-hmm.
I never had any real desire to be a superintendent.
No?
I was more interested in the youngsters.
What did you teach when you taught?
Well, during the course of the years I taught, I guess I taught about everything. But really, I was mostly math and science.
Mm-hmm.
Chemistry, physics.
Just all the hard things.
Well, not really. They're not really hard.
Not hard for you.
Well, I think oftentimes people may have a fear that it's going to be difficult and have trouble because they think it's going to be
difficult. Yes.
They've conditioned themselves to the fact that it's going to be hard, so it is hard.
Mm-hmm. When did you stop teaching and principaling and superintendenting and so on?
Well, I retired in 1972.
72. Mm-hmm.
And then I went down to the town hall. Well, I was really lost for 2 or 3 months after school started. And I just,
you weren't ready to really retire?
I didn't seem to really know what to do.
No.
Had all kinds of thoughts of what I should be doing. I went down to get a hunting license the 1st of January. I was in the town clerk's office. Russ Hart. I don't remember who the person was. Came in. You want something to do, why don't you run for selectman?
Mm-hmm.
Had mentioned this sometime before in my life. She didn't think too much of the idea. But anyway, they took out the nomination papers. And it was about 3 or 4 days later that my wife was still teaching at the year school. Someone came in and said to her, I see that Harold has taken out nomination papers for selectmen, so I had some explaining to do. She really didn't expect to hear it from someone else. She expected to hear it from me.
Yes.
I wasn't sure that I would go through with it, but it was a real experience. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to get involved in something in town other than just the schools.
I just came from having lunch with Ginny Guptill, and she had nothing but praise for you as a selectman and as a, just as a dedicated, calm, honest, sincere person.
But it's really time-consuming, more so than I didn't feel that I could really do the job justice. I pushed for an executive secretary. This is the only town of any size that didn't have an executive secretary. Well, they now have an administrative assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the board will find his services really invaluable, because if you do the research and the legwork that should be done before you make decisions, it's very time-consuming. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be free so that if we decided we'd like to go away for a month or take a trip somewhere, that I wouldn't feel that I was cheating the town by taking
by
this
going.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a back problem and I was out for 5 or 6 weeks. I was right in town.
About how many hours a week would you think you do spend on town business?
Well, there was something practically every day.
Mm-hmm.
When I was retired, and the other members of the board, of course, were working.
Mm-hmm.
It was only natural that...
You did more. This is why I'm doing all this, is that I'm retired, you see. I was a teacher. I taught for 40 years, too.
Oh, did you?
Art. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not criticizing the other members of the board.
They
just can't do it. Living comes first.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Costa, for example, is running a dairy farm that requires a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
He he'll find that his administrative assistant can be a terrific help.
Yes.
And they take advantage of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very interesting.
What did you think about, maybe this is too controversial, but here we've had this business, all this business about the lagoon and the Conservation Commission appointed by the selectmen had to go along with it, although actually a good many of them were unhappy with the thought of lagoon, and they weren't sad when the town voted as definitely as they did against it.
Well, while I was on the board, we received the notice from Fall River that they were going to cut us off. It was last June,
mm-hmm.
June 26th, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
That was the deadline. They weren't going to accept any nice soil after that date.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is really a Board of Health problem.
Yes.
The selectmen got involved, and I went to several meetings. In fact, the first meeting I went to, I didn't expect it to have to say anything. And, it was over to follow the mayor's office, and the towns, Somerset, Swansea, Freetown, Tiverton, they were all there. And, called on me first. To
oh dear.
So I was. At that time, the town really didn't know where to turn.
Mm.
And the Board of Health has taken some criticism, but I was very happy to see Dr. Shannon from Westport Point at the special town meeting.
Yes.
Compliment the board and recognize that they put in a lot of work on this, and maybe their heart isn't in it, but it's their problem and they're seeking solutions. And if the solution isn't what we would like to see it, I don't think we can criticize the board.
No, definitely not.
Because
nobody sees a solution, do they? They don't yet.
It. They don't.
They just they're just groping.
That's it. And I think the solution is that some pressure on Fall River to while they're getting this federal money is to build a plant with the capacity to take care of the surrounding
town.
Well,
I thought maybe I just heard the wrong thing, but I heard that when the money was given to Fall River, they were supposed to share it and take care of Westport.
I've heard that too, but I don't know if there's anything in writing anywhere that will
we'll prove it.
That will stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fall River extended the deadline on several occasions, and this was through the efforts of the Board of Health. There were a number of hearings that they had to go to, and, but finally, I guess they said, this is it, and it's not entirely their fault because their plant doesn't have the capacity to take care of it.
So
it's just one of those unfortunate things, and
yes.
the solution, but I don't know.
No.
I'm not in favor of the lagoon, but, and I'm not in favor of the location.
No. The location, I think, is pretty pretty foolish in a way.
I suggested a location up, and this is, my wife wouldn't like this, but it's way up in the woods, by the right south of my house is,
mm-hmm.
is what they call the drift lane. It's a path that goes right through and it comes out either on Charlotte White Road or Sodom Road.
Mm-hmm.
It used to.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the paths of in both those directions, if you get up there a ways, are pretty well filled in. But a few years ago, with the bookkeeper, came over and bought several acres up there and had it cleared, and he was going to have a soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you, when you go by, you'll notice it.
I do see that sign all the time.
So he had three or four games up there,
mm-hmm.
but it's way into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And parking facilities that different.
That seems so much. There are little brooks and rivers everywhere, but that seems like a very, very remote location, and much better than one right next to the river.
Well, that was my thought, that maybe that you know, for a temporary thing might solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't followed through, so I didn't.
You didn't push it.
I didn't push that because I'm sure my wife wouldn't have been very happy.
No.
I don't think anybody would be happy to have it anywhere near.
No, that's it. There's nobody's going to be happy if it's there anywhere near it. Well, I want to ask you one final question, and you will be a good person to ask this question of. If you were a very much more powerful man than you are, what if you had lots of power and could change anything you would like to change in Westport? Would you change it from a town meeting form of government to a representational form of government? What would you change, not only about the government, but about Westport itself?
Well, of course, I think if I had my way, I would like to regress about 35 or 40 years and have the Westport that I knew then.
Yes, not have so many people and so many developments.
People, not the problems that we have today. And I don't mean just the, I mean the whole package. The youngsters of back 30, 40 years ago, 15 or 20 years ago, were youngsters you could work with a lot more easily than you can work with the youngsters today. They had different values. Well, the parents had different values. I can remember years ago, where the first generation of Portuguese farmers that were here, if I ever had any problem with it, with one of their youngsters in school, all I'd have to do was go home and take him home and say, "Manny, your boy isn't behaving himself."
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah.
He'd come back to school with no more problems.
No,
but
no.
Today, you know, if you just shake a finger at a youngster, you're liable to end up in court.
Yes. I know.
So, but I know that's not possible.
No, we can't turn back the clock.
We can't go backwards. And, but I do think that we need a change in the form of government.
You do?
We have around 7,000 registered voters.
Mm-hmm. And 600 come to meeting.
And 600, we haven't had 600 in a long time.
No.
When you have a special issue, or some issue that a certain section is very interested in, I think this last
the Thomas
special
is in
town
the lagoon.
Where Precinct B, I stood there and watched the line in Precinct B coming into the town meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The others, maybe 10, 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
So, because these are the people that were most directly affected.
Yeah.
So they made sure to come to town meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a danger in some of these things of special sections putting through things that maybe it's good for them, but not good for the town as a whole.
Yes. In other words, they can pack the meetings with something that they're especially interested for their section.
Right.
So do you think they used to do that in the old days? Or?
They did it some in the old days, yes. I can remember when they built a sidewalk up at, along Sanford Road for the church up there. They brought them down, the school bus loads, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When that came up, they voted, and then after that issue was settled, many of them decided they'd had enough of town meeting and went out.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't good for the town to operate that way.
No.
But they have their problems with representative town government, too, getting the representatives to show up. So
yes, when the representatives don't go, then you don't have anybody.
You don't have anyone. At least this way, this is a purest form of democracy, and if you've got something to say, even if you haven't got anything to say, you can get up and say something.
You can listen and think.
Yeah, right. So maybe you, I don't know.
I wouldn't have the nerve to get up in town meeting and speak, I don't think, but at least I listen and think.
Right.
Well, I'm very grateful to you for coming down this afternoon when cleaning up after painting. I know what a job it is because I've painted so much. I mean, I painted all this trim and all these walls, and I just painted and painted and painted, and I've changed my mind and made it one color and then another color, and so my hands were always...
Like someone else I know.
Your wife, you mean? Right. Yes, you can see that the last time I did it, I got tired and quit and said, this is it. And I just quit right in the middle of the job, and there it is.
Well, I felt like doing the same thing. There's no end of work on a place.
No, and I can't. You see, I'm alone. My husband died, my son died, and I'm alone. And I just can't keep things up. I shouldn't talk about myself. I'm thanking you very much for coming. And goodbye.
It's my pleasure.